In this week's episode of Influencers, Yahoo Finance's editor-in-chief Andy Serwer speaks with Eurasia Group President Ian Bremmer about the U.S. decision to pull out of Afghanistan, implications for President Biden, and what it means for America's standing as a global superpower.
Biden, you know, certainly knows that this is an environment that is incredibly toxic, and you don't want to give your enemies, you know, any grist for them to attack you with. And he's now given them, you know, he's given them months and months, right? I mean, you know, just playing Biden's July 8th speech saying this can't possibly happen, and then it exactly happens. I mean, that is just going to be an election. It's the campaign line for, you know, anybody that's running against the Dem in midterms in 2022. Why would you want, you know, that to happen? So they didn't hedge that risk at all, and now they're going to take consequences. But I do want to be clear, the average American is supportive of this policy, broadly speaking. They want it out. Democrats, Republicans, and independents. It was incredibly popular as a policy under Trump and under Biden. And if the only thing that happens is the debacle that we see on the ground affecting Afghans, then I'm not sure it has huge lasting effects on Biden. It makes him look more incompetent. It makes him look like he can't execute well. But I don't see a lot of Americans voting on the back of leaving Afghanistan one way or the other. I really don't. Having said that, there is now a proximate risk that this gets a lot worse. I mean, you know, right now, this is not the Iran crisis, the hostage crisis of 79. It's not, but it could become that. I mean, there are a lot of Americans that we want to get out of there. What if we have a hostage crisis? What if we have a firefight? What if Americans get killed? What if we end up not being able to get all these Americans out? That destroys Biden's presidency. And there is a real chance of that happening. It's not a 50% chance. Maybe it's a 5% chance, but it is way higher than it should be. And again, Biden now owns that. In other words, right now, I still think you get $3.5 trillion through in terms of infrastructure. And that's a big win for Biden. And you know, I don't think that anything that has happened in the last few days in Afghanistan changes my view on that. But that could change in the next week, depending on what happens on the ground in Afghanistan. So we are not remotely out of the woods on this yet.
Ian, what did you think about President Biden's speech about the pullout from Afghanistan?
I think that there were two things the speech needed to do. He succeeded at one of them. He very credibly made the argument why he needed to continue with the full withdrawal of U.S. forces and bringing the war to a conclusion. He made it clear where the Taliban actually sat from a power position when he became president, just how far down the troops had already been withdrawn from the United States. Also, the fact that the ceasefire was quickly coming to an end, it was expand or leave. I think he made that point credibly. But what he did not do is take any responsibility for the failed execution on the ground. Listening to that speech, Andy, it was literally as if the events of the weekend had not occurred. That, you know, he says the buck stops here and, you know, it went faster than we thought it was going to. But I mean, there is no circumstance under which you should have the Kabul airport, swarmed by thousands of Afghan civilians, an American transport plane with Afghans hanging literally off the wheels and falling to their death. I mean, if you're the president of the United States and that just happened under your watch, how do you not make reference to it? How do you not take questions from the audience? You can't handle that. This is the most important foreign policy speech this man has given in his life. And he was not there for it, in my view.
I want to shift gears and talk about China, which we mentioned before, and talk about the relationship and where we stand with that right now. It's maybe surprising to some people that the relationship between the United States and China really hasn't improved during the Biden administration, right, Ian?
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you may remember when Biden first became president, I said the thing that's going to surprise people is that Biden is going to be softer than Trump on Russia, and he's going to be harder than Trump on China, which is exactly the opposite of what everyone was saying, Dem or Republican at that point. He's softer on Russia because even though Trump wanted to be, you know, the good guy for Putin, wanted to do a reset, he couldn't do it at all, right? Couldn't do it because of his own cabinet, because of the GOP in Congress, because he was just constrained massively from implementing. Where for Biden, China is the big problem. And so he doesn't want the Russia relationship to go off the rails farther than it has. And so you saw him with the immediate meeting in Switzerland and engaging on ransomware attacks, for example, and trying to get a dialogue going. I mean, that wasn't happening under Trump, frankly. On China, I mean, Biden sees it as the top priority, as did Trump. But Biden much more interested in coordinating with allies on that China policy, and thus far more effective, in part because China screwed a bunch of stuff up. But this wolf warrior diplomacy plays badly in Australia, in Japan, in Canada, in the UK, even in Germany. And so, I mean, for example, the EU-China investment deal, which went ahead when Trump was president, suddenly got suspended over the past few months. And Biden diplomacy with the Europeans helped to make that happen. So the Chinese are actually less happy with Biden than they have been with Trump. They weren't happy with either, but they see Biden as more problematic for them. Now, clearly, again, this debacle in Kabul is going to show a lot of Chinese that are running laps saying the Americans are in decline. The reality is they're not happy about the United States leaving Afghanistan. They would have preferred us maintaining some level of baseline stability on the ground there and using our money and our troops and our allies to shore it up.